is Hub. I am Hub Arkish, and I am the editor and general manager at Pro Football Weekly from Shaw Media. And our panel tonight includes our senior Chicago Bears beat reporter, Kevin Fishbane, at the far end of the table. Here in the middle of the table is our senior NFL beat reporter, Arthur Arkish. Yes, same last name. There's a reason for that. And we continue to enjoy getting to people around the country, and we are now doing it in various ways beyond our syndicated TV show, our syndicated radio shows, and of course our insert weekly in the Northwest Herald, Kane County Chronicle, Sun-Times, Daily Herald, all the papers around Chicago. We are now streaming live on Facebook as well. So we are here tonight to talk some Bears-Packers. And Arthur, by the way, in addition to being our senior NFL beat reporter at Pro Football Weekly, is the NFC North reporter for USA Today Sports Weekly, and covers the entire NFC North. So we're going to lean on you a little bit, Arthur, for the Green Bay Packers portion of this preview. Bears 1-5, Packers 3-2. Most of you know that. Do the Bears have a shot? Packers are banged up pretty good. In fact, the Packers have not been playing real good football. So why don't you start us off, Arthur, and talk about why that is.
I don't know, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP, isn't playing like it. I think a lot of people in Green Bay are searching for answers as to why right now. Obviously, the last time the Bears went into Lambeau, they pulled off a pretty historic upset. I think the Bears and Bears fans thought at that time maybe it was a Thanksgiving miracle, but now it looks like something was, in fact, wrong with the Packers offense that they haven't managed to fix in almost a year. So they're still doing a lot of other things well. And I'll tell you, I don't know if the Bears are going to win tomorrow night, but I think they may win the injury report, if that counts for anything, because as banged up as the Bears are, the Packers are in even worse shape. Down their top two corners, a starting running back, and a couple other key players. So maybe that works into the Bears' advantage. But as far as what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers in the offense, I don't know. It seems to become increasingly stunning to watch with each week that they can't get it figured out.
I have a little theory on Aaron Rodgers.
Go.
I think that when his brother won Bachelorette, that was a very difficult time for the family. A lot of their family stuff was put out in the public. Maybe Aaron didn't like that. And I think it's really rattled him from an offensive perspective the entire season.
Right, except the struggles well precede the Bachelorette season. But that's okay. It is a good theory regardless.
It's a great theory
And the great thing about podcasting is we can break a lot of the rules that you have to follow on TV and radio. And Kevin, I heard that he was on the show. So you actually watched it, and you know that he won?
Of course I watched it. Listen, Hub, I work for Pro Football Weekly. Jordan Rodgers, a former NFL quarterback, brother of Aaron Rodgers, I considered it work.
So what is winning? What exactly does winning the Bachelorette mean, by the way?
He won JoJo. She was the Bachelorette.
All right, but what's the end game here? These people are supposed to get married?
Oh, yeah.
And do any of them ever actually get married?
I don't think so.
Okay, so...
I stop watching at the end. I don't keep up.
And so it's reality TV, but nothing real happens on it, is what you're saying.
That's as far as I know. But as I said, I don't have any other good reasons for why Aaron Rodgers is struggling. I guess maybe his footwork is off. Mechanics are a little faulty. I've heard that the route concepts the Packers are running aren't as good. But I don't think any of those theories are as entertaining as the Bachelorette.
Well, I would agree with that. Although the other one that is as entertaining is he... kind of consistent with where his play fell off about week 6, week 7 of last season. Aaron Rodgers also has a new girlfriend, and many people think that that's the problem.
I'll leave that one to Arthur.
I'm not going there. I don't know. I'm an Olivia Munn fan, so I'm going to leave that one alone. But let's just see if the Bears can find a way to take advantage. Was it the Thanksgiving game when his struggles really kicked in, or he was already playing pretty poorly at the time?
It was up and down, but no player had ever... gotten a pass deflection 4 times in a game on Aaron Rodgers until Tracy Porter did on Thanksgiving last year. And Tracy Porter got an interception in that game. Tracy Porter probably not playing tomorrow night, but that Vic Fangio did a number on Aaron Rodgers last year, and I think that might be the best thing the Bears have going for them is Fangio's calling the plays, because I tell you what, the perfect recipe for Aaron Rodgers to get back on track is look out at the Bears secondary and see a bunch of 22, 23-year-olds, many of them undrafted guys, trying to cover Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson.
All right, so we should get to some of these injuries. Before we do, though, you mentioned winning, his brother winning the Bachelorette. It reminded me, one of our special guests, co-workers here tonight, Dan McCaleb, our group editor at Shaw Media, is here. And rumor has it that the Cleveland Indians are going to be in the World Series this year. And I think for anybody who has to suffer the ignominy of being a Browns fan, absolutely deserves this. Now, we certainly hope that they're going to get their butts kicked by the Cubs, but the Cubs got their own problems right now. So, Dan, congratulations, the Cleveland Indians in the World Series, and we will find out later who their opponents are. We're talking about these injuries, guys. Arthur, you mentioned top two cornerbacks. It could actually be top three. Sam Shields, who's their best corner, is now on injured reserve.
Right.
The two guys who are eligible to play, Quentin Rollins and Demarius Randall, were both out at the end of the game last Sunday. We have no idea if they will go or not.
They've since been ruled out.
They've both been
neither
ruled.
One of them
so,
will play.
So
and quickly,
actually,
let's tell Bears fans that it's not just the Bears who suffer practice injuries. Quentin Rollins got hurt in practice last week, missed the game, and now he's going to miss a second straight game.
All right, so the Packers are down their top three corners. They're down their starting running back in Eddie Lacy. They're down their number two running back in James Starks. They've been trying to make a running back out of Ty Montgomery a wide receiver, and now they traded yesterday for Nile Davis. So they're going to have a wide receiver and a guy they traded for 2 days ago playing running back. You would think, and Kevin, I'll come back to you because you're our Bears expert, even with the injuries that the Bears have, I got to agree with Arthur on this one. The Bears don't have quite the problems the Packers do going into this game.
No, and the Bears played really well against the run last week against Jacksonville. Really held up T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory. So that's where you can beat the Packers. If they just completely bottle up the Packers' run game and put Aaron Rodgers in these 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12 situations. Now, of course, Rodgers is one of those quarterbacks who can get out of it. Andrew Luck did it a few times a few weeks ago in Indianapolis. But that's a bit part of the Bears' recipe. If you don't have to worry about Lacy, you don't have to worry about Starks, you got to worry about a guy they signed 2 days ago, and you have Trevathan, should be healthier. Jarrell Freeman's been maybe the most consistent player for this Bears defense. Will Sutton's actually playing well in place of Eddie Goldman. I thought Akeem Hicks had his best game last week at the defensive line. Mitch Unrein playing well. So there's a lot to like about those guys.
We should report on the Bears' injuries. None of the likely suspects expected back. Don't know about Leonard Floyd. You're hearing anything about Leonard Floyd? It's a
no. He's listed as quite. He did practice Tuesday, but I was out there and nobody was even wearing helmets. I mean, it was not much of a practice. So you take that with a grain of salt. Tracy Porter and Bryce Callahan are questionable. The big one is Josh Sitton. Josh Sitton is unlikely to play.
Literally the big one.
Yeah. He has not missed a game in almost 5 years, so he'll miss the reunion with his former team. And, you know, the offensive line's played really well protecting Brian Hoyer, and that's going to be a big loss at left guard because, as Arthur will tell you, the Packers' front seven is probably the strength of this team. I mean, they've been playing, you know, outside the struggles against Ezekiel Elliott last week, that group has been really, really good.
And Ezekiel Elliott has been great. The Cowboys have had the best running game in football, and I think some Packers observers would even tell you that it wasn't quite as bad as it looked. There was an end around a Lucky Whitehead that went for 30-something yards. Prescott, I think, got out of the pocket a few times, so I think that might have inflated the numbers just a bit. But nonetheless, as Kevin said, the Packers very, very good up front, from Mike Daniels to their new inside linebackers. Like the Bears, the Packers have a new set of inside linebackers that have really been keying the defense, and you go on and on. Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, that's a group to have to deal with, and we'll see. Do you assume it's going to be Ted Larson in Josh Sitton's absence?
I actually think it'll be Eric Kush, potentially, the guy they claimed off waivers. If you watched Hard Knocks on HBO, you know who Eric Kush is.
He loves his tanks.
Yeah, he likes his tank tops and his goofy Jeep. So it could be Kush. We'll find out 90 minutes before kickoff.
What does that say about Ted Larson? Is that
you know, when he's wearing sunglasses, he looks like Zach Galifianakis' character from The Hangover. It's about all I got on
some Big Ben similarities,
yeah,
too, I've seen.
On Ted Larson. But, you know, that's going to be, and Arthur and I were talking about this off the air hub, Bobby Massey and Charles Leno, these guys are really going to be under the spotlight because Nick Perry's having a great start to his season. Clay Matthews, we know what he can do. And this is the best front the Bears have faced since Houston. And Houston just annihilated Bobby Massey. And if those guys can't do it, you know, Brian Hoyer's not going to have a whole lot of time to throw.
Yeah, if I was Brian Hoyer's wife, I'd be out shopping today for some extra life insurance, some extra disability insurance. I mean, Bobby Massey is going to get somebody killed if they don't get him out of there. And it just hasn't gotten any better from week to week. You know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and it's sounding so good for the Bears. I mean, you know, the Packers have got all these problems, and we are forgetting that the Packers are the 3-2 team and the Bears are the 1-5 team. And I think one of the things from a Bears perspective you really got to worry about, guys, is that probably the best player on the football team right now is Jordan Howard. And for some reason, they chose to take the ball out of his hands for part of the game last Sunday. So Danny Pompey gave me the stat, and I couldn't believe it when he told me, but Pompey doesn't make mistakes like this. In the 100-plus year history of the Chicago Bears, one running back has had 100-yard rushing games his first two games in the NFL, and it's Jordan Howard. And so in game three, the Bears decided to put him on the bench halfway through the second period and not let him back in until late in the third period. That Green Bay front seven run defense you were talking about, prior to last week through their first four games, they were giving up 42.7 yards a game on the ground. That is absolutely not just record-setting, but record-shattering if you project it out over a season. The second-best run defense in the league was 50% worse. The Jets were giving up 68 yards a game, and the Bears are one of the worst running teams in the league, even with Jordan Howard. They're 23rd. They're 30th in run-pass ratio. And so now we've got to wonder, was that just an aberration that Zeke Elliott went off for 150 yards? Or, you know, is the Packers' run defense, beatable?
And has Dowell Loggins, is he going to get, I don't know, tempted by the injuries in the Green Bay secondary to get away from Jordan Howard again and look to attack downfield with Cameron Meredith and Alshon Jeffrey? I've been throwing my hands up in the air like the rest of us. I think that Howard needs to be more involved, but when you're going up against Ladarius Gunter and Demetri Goodson are going to be the two starting outside corners for the Packers. They're both former undrafted guys, and I don't know. The biggest advantage for the Bears might just be those big guys, those big perimeter threats, and Jeffrey and Meredith.
It is going to be very interesting because now we get back to, again, the issue of protecting Brian Hoyer. And we're just assuming, I mean, Jay Cutler, I don't know if he's ever going to play again, but has not practiced again this week. And so, obviously, he's not suddenly coming out and playing at Lambeau Field. We should point out that Jordy Nelson does appear to be pretty close to 100%. And Randall Cobb is Randall Cobb again now that Jordy Nelson is back. A bad Aaron Rodgers has still been better than a Brian Hoyer or a Jay Cutler. It is a very, very tall task for the Bears. We have made our predictions. Arthur, I'll let you go first.
I'm picking the home team. I maybe with Jay Cutler, we get back to willing to take chances and exploit Green Bay's weaknesses. But now through five games, we haven't seen Brian Hoyer do that. So I don't even remember what the score I had was. I think 27-17 Packers. I think the Bears offense continues to struggle. Packers do the same, but they do more than enough to get a win.
Kevin, what do you got?
Well, I thought the Bears could get a backdoor cover out of this one because the line opened up at 9.5. It's down to 7.5 as of this taping. I have the Packers winning, 29-16. I think it'll be a big game for Connor Barth, get a few field goals. But otherwise, I just don't see it. Thursday night, this is going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be sloppy. Thursday night games always are. Thursday night football is just ridiculous. And look at the injury report. I mean, I think it's going to be a sloppy, sloppy game. But it's Aaron Rodgers, Lambeau Field. It's hard for me to pick the Bears.
You know, I'll tell you, I had a bit of an epiphany on Monday when I heard John Fox in his day after media breakdown say, well, you know, let's talk about the bright spot. You know, we were 3-for-3 on field goals. You're supposed to be 3-for-3 on field goals.
And 1-for-1 on extra points.
Yeah. Well, that's what made it a bright spot was the 1-for-1 extra points. I mean, listen, nobody's taken any joy in this. We knew it was going to be a tough year. It was not supposed to be quite this bad. There are so many things that point to a potential upset for the Bears here that this just has trap written all over it to me. And I think the Packers not only win it, but I'm not sure how close the Bears can keep it. I think the Packers' defense is pretty good. They'll be questionable at corner. I guess the one thing you do keep an eye on is that other teams have taken away Alshon Jeffrey by shadowing him with their best corner and then giving him help over the top with a high safety. We don't know that either of these corners can do that. And so maybe this is Alshon Jeffrey night. I mean, if ever there was a night to target him, and to tell Brian Hoyer, you got to throw it whether it's a contested ball or not, this would be the night. And so maybe they can do some damage there. But I just think the Packers have too much for them. So we'll hope that we're all wrong. But our job is to be objective analysts and media personalities who tell you the truth. And the truth is the Bears have got a very tall order tomorrow night.